For instance, Easter Sunday, we call Resurrection Sunday. We have been looking at the past resurrection appearances of Jesus. We saw how Jesus appeared to the woman who went to the tomb to anoint his body with spices. And when they get there, they can't find him. And while they are perplexed about this, two angels appear to them and say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Luke 24, verse 5 and 6. Then we find that these women rush back to tell the disciples, but their words seem so unbelievable that the Bible says, if you read there, Luke 24, verse 5 and 6, in that area, that the disciples did not believe them. Then we saw that Peter stood up and he ran to the tomb, stooping in and looking into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth that covered Jesus by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Luke 24, 11 and 12. And then we saw later on that same Sunday, the same resurrection Sunday, that Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. From Jerusalem, they were heading to Emmaus. And we see that in Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. The two disciples, after they recognized Jesus, the Bible says that they rushed back to Jerusalem, which was 7 miles away, to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. Suddenly, the Bible says, Jesus appeared in the midst of the disciples in Jerusalem. Again, Luke 24, verse 36 to 49. And he showed himself alive to them also. And we look from John's perspective, and there was a whole sermon about this, how Thomas doubted the resurrection until Jesus revealed himself to Thomas. We looked at when Peter denied knowing Jesus before the crucifixion, that now Jesus appears and meets them at the Sea of Galilee, and he restores Peter to ministry. Yeah. Now, Luke begins his second volume, which is the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And in our first verse, in Acts 1, verse 3, we see that Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles after his suffering by many infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. What a glorious 40 days that must have been for the apostles. That was undoubtedly the most intensive, exciting, eye-opening, faith-enriching, and heartwarming 40 days that have ever taken place for these disciples. Finally, all their lack of understanding about the person and work of Jesus was cleared up. During these 40 days, friends, Jesus met with over 500 people. On many occasions, he preached, he taught his disciples, he performed miracles, much like he did before his death. But things were different. Jesus had a resurrected body, which could be seen, could be felt, he could eat, he could travel at the speed of thought, and he could pass through walls. Do you agree? He spent the 40 days appearing to many people. Why? To validate the resurrection from the dead. There was now no question that he was alive. Why 40 days? Well, 40 is an interesting number in the Bible. Do you know that Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Why not 39? 40. Do you know that it rained for 40 days and nights in Noah's day? Do you know that Moses was on the Mount Sinai for 40 days receiving the law of God? Do you know that the spies spent 40 days spying out the promised land? Do you know that Goliath taunted the Jews before David showed up? For 40 days, he kept going on about with these Jews. Do you know that God gave Nineveh 40 days to repent or be destroyed? Do you know that when Elijah ate the food that the angel provided, he traveled for 40 days and nights? Do you know that Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days in the wilderness? Do you know that the Bible has 40 different writers? Hey, 40. Now Jesus spends 40 days on earth after his resurrection from the dead, teaching his disciples. 40 is a significant number in the Bible. And, you know, there are other numbers that are also very significant in the Bible. We see in some of these references that are made that it was a time of testing and judgment. It was a time of difficulty. But at the end of that 40-day or 40-year period, there was always relief and blessings. For example, in Noah's days, after 40 days, the waters, the flood waters receded. Amen. Do you know that after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites entered the promised land? Do you know that after 40 days of taunting the Israelites, David showed up, slew him? Isn't that so? Do you know that Jesus had victory over Satan after 40 days? We see in the case of Moses and Elijah that 40 days was a time of divine presence and power. Jesus' 40 days after the resurrection was very, very significant, friends. But all of that had to come to an end. Now we are going to look at the climax of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And that, friends, is the ascension. Amen. Amen. Amen? Is the ascension. Not many of us here know or will admit that we didn't know that last Thursday. Today's Sunday, Saturday, Thursday was Ascension Day. We didn't know that, right? I'll tell you, we'll get there. We'll see. Friends, Jesus' work on earth was coming to a close. So, Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. You see, Luke is mentioning that, yeah, in the Gospel of Luke. But when he writes the book of Acts, he mentions it again. But we'll get there, friends. The ascension means that we cannot be neutral about Jesus. We can't simply pick and choose from his teachings. Oh, I don't like that. Yes, I want more of this. No, not that. We can't treat him like Socrates or Mahatma Gandhi or Confucius. The ascension is the final proof that we are dealing with more than just a man. All the Bible says about who Jesus is makes little sense without the ascension. Through the ascension, we now know that we are dealing with God. Yes. Do you see that, friends? The ascension is largely overshadowed by what we call the incarnation, That's when Jesus put on flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. And it's overshadowed by the resurrection when Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, Christmas and Easter are great, great celebrations. But Ascension Day goes by without a trace, barely recognized. And yet it's a major event. Do you know when I was a little fellow in South Africa, Ascension Day was a public holiday. Yes. Nobody went to work. In fact, it started in 1910 up to 1993. Now they don't have Ascension Day. All right? They don't celebrate. But it is a major, friends. It's a major event. Without the Ascension, the work of Jesus would be incomplete. Listen to this, said by a guy named Robert Ramsey. He said, Easter is incomplete. Pentecost is impeded, delayed. And the second coming is impossible without the Ascension.
Yeah.
Isn't that so, friends? Hey? Our Lord's Ascension is a climatic, glorious event. It is his exaltation to the right hand of the Father. Paul writes in Ephesians 4 verse 10. Paul writes, he who descended is the very one, capital O. He who descended from heaven is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Isn't that lovely, friends? He's the very one. Jesus humbly came to this earth. He descended to the sin-stained world and went even to the gates of hell for us. Now, friends, now he is seen returning to glory. He's returning to glory. It's important, friends, that this event is described in the Bible. Luke tells us that it took place before their very eyes. Hey? He wants us to know that something tangible, something real took place. Just as with the resurrection, there were eyewitnesses to the ascension of Jesus. It was a unique and spectacular moment. The disciples, they saw the cloud take their master to his heavenly home. The cloud was an Old Testament image of the presence and glory of God, first seen in the wilderness wandering of the Jews en route to the promised land. And we see in Acts 1, verse 2, that before the ascension, Jesus spends time giving instructions, giving commandments to the apostles. What were some of those commandments? Well, we spent a whole Sunday looking at it 2 weeks ago. The Great Commission to the disciples. That was the instruction, the Great Commission to the disciples and to us, the church. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Isn't that a lovely verse, friends? That was something that Jesus taught his disciples before he ascended. He spoke this just before he ascended. The second thing he taught them is about the promise of the Father, who is the Holy Spirit. He taught them about that. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, the Bible says there, Luke says, And behold, Jesus says, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, that you are to stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Do you know when this happened, friends? It happened 10 days after the ascension. Jesus would send the Holy Spirit, which he had promised. He sent the Holy Spirit. The third thing, another thing, and I'm not going to spend too much time, but another thing he taught them, he instructed them, he commanded them. He said, wait in Jerusalem. It's vital that you wait in Jerusalem. You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Luke says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Friends, isn't that lovely? Eh? In other words, listen, man, don't go on. Don't go out there and minister in your own strength. Don't do that. Jesus had already told these disciples that the Holy Spirit couldn't come until he left. Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is to your advantage, Jesus is saying, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Isn't that something, friends? Jesus was instructing them that they are to go to Jerusalem and tarry, to wait there until the Holy Spirit comes, which he did 10 days after the ascension. And we call that day Pentecost. Do you know that the word Pentecost means 50? Now, how come? The 50th day after the resurrection. You see, Jesus spent 40 days, ascended, 10 days, Pentecost. Holy Spirit came. Friend, anyway, that's just for fun.
Trivia.
Jesus tried to encourage them that his departure was actually good for them. It was a good thing. And he said it's to your advantage. The New International Version says it's for your good that I am going away. The disciples probably thought, how could it be better for us that you are leaving? And one way in which it was better would be now that the Holy Spirit, that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus would not just be with his disciples, but he would be in his disciples. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Praise the Lord, man. I can see Cal wants to dance now. Friends, and this would prove that it would be a better thing. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I know I made a little mistake when I was preparing the slides for Ross to put on Zoom. I said Acts 4, verse 6, but it's actually Acts 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, so here is Jesus, friends. The disciples had been with him for 3.5 years. They had seen him perform miracles of healing the blind and the deaf and the lame and the crippled and the demon possessed. They saw him feed thousands of people with fish and bread. They saw him calming storms with a verbal command. They saw him walking on water and even raising the dead. They had seen him being tortured within an inch of his life. They had seen him being crucified, dead, and buried. They had seen his physical resurrected body. They had seen him eat. They had heard this once dead Son of God teach. They had seen him appear in the room, even though the windows and the doors were locked. And in all this time, through all of these miracles, Jesus had never once mentioned that he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel at that time. And yet, they kept asking the same old question. Why? Well, the disciples were brought up under the Old Testament teaching that God would promise to restore Israel an earthly kingdom. And God is going to do that. It's going to last for 1,000 years. God is going to redeem the earth and give the Jews their promised kingdom. Now, the Old Testament taught that the Messiah would come and he will rule and reign over the Jews in God's kingdom on earth. And Jesus was the Messiah. But the question is, when was he going to set up this kingdom? This was a legitimate question, friends. They didn't understand, however, that God had another kingdom to set up first, before he came and ruled in an earthly kingdom. Before the earthly kingdom would be established, Jesus would establish a kingdom ruling in the hearts and lives of those who turn to him for salvation. Amen? This is the kingdom of God. Friends, now Jesus tells them how he's going to do it. How he's going to do it, how he's going to establish this kingdom. Now, Acts 1 verse 8. He says, I'm going to establish this kingdom through you. Through you? Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Do you see how it's going to be done, friends? Hey? Before Jesus returns to establish this kingdom he promised to the Jews, he's establishing a kingdom now and he's using you and I. Isn't that something? Friends, we know that the apostles did their part. They started in Jerusalem, they went to Judea and then to Samaria, then to the ends of the known world at that time. And now we are to do our part. And praise God, many are. Amen. Yes. And then in Acts 1 verse 9, Jesus ascended. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Friends, the ascension of Jesus marked the end of the chapter of Jesus' earthly life. I'm sure that the disciples were sorry to see him go. But they didn't realize at that time that they were better off that he was gone. Why? I'll tell you why. While on earth, Jesus limited himself to be one place at one time. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Hey? But now, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, who lives in me and he lives in you and he lives in Christians all over the world, Jesus can now be everywhere all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. Awesome. Friends, the same Holy Spirit who lived in Peter, Paul, and Luke, and James, and John, and all of them, lives in you. No wonder Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The ascension of Jesus allows him to live in your heart and to be close to you at all times. His presence is real, friends. The same power that Jesus gave his disciples is the same power that Jesus gives you and I. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can do everything that Jesus calls us to do. Amen? And what does he call you to do? The same thing he called his disciples to do. What's that? To go and make disciples of all nations. Isn't that true, friends? And he says, I'll be with you always. Imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus slowly disappear heavenward, higher and higher, until he was finally out of their sight. I am sure they kept looking up, even after he was out of their sight, trying to get a last glimpse that they could get of him. Augustine reflects this benefit in the prayer. I love the sentence, man. You know, I was so excited when I read it and said, I want to put it in here. Augustine in the prayer says, you ascended before our eyes and we turn back grieving only to find you in our hearts. Yeah. Isn't that lovely, friends? Hey? You descended before our eyes and we turn back grieving only to find you in our hearts. Praise the Lord. And now, friends, while their eyes were gazing skyward, something happens. And verse 10 and 11, let's look at it there. This is a wonderful verse. The Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, friends, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, this is the best part now, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. In other words, let me paraphrase. What the angels were saying is, hey, guys, he's coming back. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you see how wonderful ascension is. Hey, guys, Jesus is coming back. The angel gives them hope. He gives them their second wind. He isn't gone forever. He's coming back just as he said he would. Friends, this what makes me want to dance on the ceiling. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back the first time to gather his elect on earth and take them back to heaven to be with him. And then he's coming back to set up the kingdom he promised to Israel, the one the disciples had asked him about earlier, friends. The angels are giving them the assurance that Jesus hasn't forgotten his promise to the Jews just because he's leaving. He left in a glorified body. He will come in a glorified body. He left from the Mount of Olives. He will come to the Mount of Olives. Do you see that, friends? You say, where's this? Zechariah 4, 14, verse 4. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives is less than a kilometer, it's two-thirds of a mile, sorry, from Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half towards the south. He's coming back, friends. You know, I want to close, but just I was really smiling when I read this. During What has happened?
It's all good.
This devil. This devil. Jesus was silent during his trial. Do you remember? When the false accusations were being hurled at him. But I like what he said in Mark chapter 14, verse 62. After the high priest asked him if he was the Christ, Jesus says, I am. And you, sir, will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Amen. Hey, don't mess, man. Jesus is seated in the heavenly holy of holies at the right hand of the Father. The right hand is a poetic way of signifying the place. It's a place of highest honor and authority. It also is a place of power and majesty. Acts chapter 1, verse 12, our last verse. And we look how Luke put it in the gospel. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they, I'm reading the wrong one first. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. The disciples go back to Jerusalem less than a mile to wait there 10 days until Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Let's see how Dr. Luke put this in Luke chapter 24, verse 52-53. Then they worshiped him. Jesus had ascended now. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Isn't that lovely, friends? The disciples were encouraged and inspired by what the angel had told them. May we be encouraged and inspired too, friends. This is good news for us to hear also. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Let's not stand around. Let's get busy doing the Great Commission. Amen. Instead of continually looking up in anticipation, let's look out now with initiation, opportunity, and let's go spread the gospel. Let's go and tell others what we have seen and heard. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer, friend. Hallelujah, Lord. The songwriter says, it's you. You have won my heart, taken me into your arms and comforted me like a friend. Bless your holy name. Your love surrounded me from the start. I never want to be apart from you ever again. We thank you, Lord, that this great event took place. And we see how it's important, Lord, for us. And we, in the same breath, Lord, are looking forward to when you will come again. In the meanwhile, Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and share your precious word with others, to tell others about your great love for them. Lord, bless everyone who hears this sermon. Lord, let us never take lightly this ascension day of how Jesus ascended into heaven, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Bless us, Lord. May we walk in a newness, in an excitement, in new zeal and enthusiasm. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord deserves a hand clap. Amen. Thank you.